Welcome to the Florida Specifier Podcast. This is Brett Cyphers, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts and fellow members of the Florida Specifier Editorial Board. First, there's Jeff Littlejohn. He's with National Stormwater Trust, On-Site Performance, and he's also a senior advisor at the Adams & Reese Law Firm. Next, we have Ryan Matthews. Ryan is a government affairs expert, among other things, with the Gray Robinson Law Firm. Our editor-in-chief, Patrick Gillespie, is truant today because he heard a rumor that Jeff was going to be here. True. And I'm a partner at Anfield Consulting, and I host another podcast as well called Water for Fighting. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for recognizing my other talents. I'm a Renaissance man.
Yeah. You both kind of are, really. I mean, the number of things you get yourselves involved in are various and sundry.
And sometimes accidental.
My wife's not happy about it.
Yeah. All right. So as we close in on the holiday season, I'm glad we're able to get together here, talk about the latest issue of the Specifier for November and December, even though we don't have our editor-in-chief with us. But before we get into the paper itself, we've had an election since we were last together. And so let's talk a little bit about what that may mean for Florida as it relates to environmental policy at the federal level. So Jeff, you and Herschel Vineyard over at Adams and Reese have been directly involved in some of these issues over the last few years. So I want to hear from you first. For example, what are you hearing in relation to Florida potentially renegotiating its 404 assumption agreement with the APA? Is it too early to tell? I mean, people haven't taken literal office yet, but what are you hearing about that?
Well, you're right, Brad. Obviously, people haven't taken office yet, and so it is too early to tell. But I'm very hopeful that we'll have a chance to renegotiate our assumption agreement and that we'll return 404 permitting to Florida. I'm also very hopeful that we'll see EPA and the Corps of Engineers revisit some of my opinion, its misguided interpretation of what is the definition of waters in the United States post-Sackett decision. We'd love to see a decision that more closely reflects what the Supreme Court actually stated in their decision and have that guidance pulled back and rewritten. If those two things happen, I could see a lot of efficiencies coming back to Florida and moving that program back to Florida. So I'm very hopeful, but obviously until people get seated and those decisions start to get, you know, put in place, it's, you know, we're still in the current quagmire.
As our resident attorney, Mr. Matthews, I'm curious, not knowing the answer to this question already, is, you know, both of these things are still involved in litigation, you know, at the moment. Does that have to resolve itself in order to make policy changes, or do you just kind of move forward and...
Well, first, I'm always impressed with Jeff the engineer's legal acumen. I really do truly enjoy that. And he's not holding himself out to be an attorney. He's not breaking any laws or anything like that. Well, to your point, you know, action by the agency could effectively make litigation moot. So if the Trump administration and Lee Zeldin, who he has put forward as his EPA administrator, is seated, and the Army Corps of Engineers and the Fish and Wildlife Commission at the federal level decide that they are going to hand back the program, well, I think that would certainly cause litigation to cease.
Thank you for that. But the reality for now is actually on the front page of the Specifier, though, right? I mean, we have an article about what the Army Corps of Engineers is doing to, for the moment, expand its ability to actually take applications and hopefully issue permits, which they are not famous for doing quickly. What's your take on that? I mean, you're growing a place to do something that may not actually be doing it in a while.
True. Yeah, I don't know whether to be excited about the news that the Corps is outsourcing permit processing for 404 permits, or just kind of miserable and I told you so, because quite frankly, it felt like DEP was processing those permits at a clip that was much higher than the Corps was previously doing. And so now that the Corps has hopefully temporarily taken back the program, assumption of the program, it feels to me a little bit like, you know, you're admitting that you weren't doing a good enough job prior by now outsourcing the approval of those permits.
I think it would have been really cool if Florida had bid on that, and then the Corps could have outsourced its permitting to Florida. Wouldn't that be ironic? I actually got an email and a quick phone call back from a Corps of Engineers permit reviewer in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The most pleasant Corps interaction I've had in my entire career. And I told him so. And I actually filled out a survey form.
Wow.
Bottom of his email, how did we do? I normally skip right over those. I took the time to say, this guy did a great job. We got a quick answer. I was thrilled. So
my goodness,
here I am backtracking on a complaint that I probably lodged publicly, months ago, that all of our permits are getting outsourced to other core districts. Actually thought it was pretty good.
I mean, those satisfaction surveys are generally moot if it's been a decade since your last action.
That's right.
I'm glad that they seem
so
to be.
So one positive interaction.
Hey, you got to give credit when it's due.
Corps of Engineers Albuquerque District Office.
Shout out. Kudos.
Well done, New Mexico. So obviously, in addition to following it as individuals, as you are, Jeff, and I know that you are, Ryan, as well, I know that we at the Specifier and Patrick will keep us on top of that issue. And I think you'll probably see more of those. I mean, obviously you have the Specifier, but it comes out every few months. The better places that people will find those updates are, as they come in, are through the newsletter and the website and releases that we do when those things pop up. Let's bring things closer to home and talk about the election related to the Florida legislature and the passing of the torch to a brand new Senate president, Ben Albright, and a new Speaker of the House, that's Danny Perez. Ryan, can you hit on the organizational session took place on November 19th and what the changes in leadership teams may mean for the issues that we cover at the Specifier?
Sure. Happy to. So, every 2 years when you have this passing of the torch, if you will, of presiding officers, largely a ceremonial action, but an important one because it brings about a couple of change, as you mentioned, Brett. So we've got new presiding officers sworn in. We've got a new Senate president. We've got a new speaker. With that comes potentially new committee structures, new committee leadership teams, new members of the legislature who are sworn in as well. So, I think we are going to have an interesting 2 years. And I say interesting just because there's a lot of shifting dynamics in Florida politics, right? I mean, we see it because of what's occurred at the federal level. We see it because already folks are vying for what is going to be quite a show to watch when it comes to the 2026 ballot. So it's going to be very interesting, especially for someone who's kind of a sicko and involved on a day-to-day basis in Florida politics about what transpires. But to your point, Ben Albright, the new Senate president, he's a citrus farmer from the Wauchula area, sort of that, phosphate backbone of the state. Very, very focused on agriculture, on rural Florida. He coined the term, rural renaissance when he was being sworn in and giving his speech about what he is looking to focus on. Speaker Perez is an attorney from Miami. He was a little bit, not secretive, but he just didn't divulge what his priorities were going to be. I think that we are going to probably spend a future episode talking about a new attitude when it comes to our appropriations process, our budget in the state of Florida, because it seems as if the Florida House right now is focused on really streamlining and cutting the budget. So we had a $117 billion budget last year. In his memo to new members, the speaker pointed out that member projects had grown from, somewhere around $700 million just 5 years ago to upwards of a 650% increase to multi-billions of dollars. And it was very apparent he renamed the Appropriations Committee the Budget Committee. So I think that's going to certainly pray tell some interesting things, but we're going to be on the lookout as the House releases some of its subcommittee chairmen and women. They haven't done that yet. They've identified big chairs. But in the Senate, we've got a couple familiar names who, most of our listeners have interacted with either on the appropriations or policy side. Senator Jason Broder is going to continue to chair the subcommittee on agriculture and natural resources, and Ana Maria Rodriguez from Miami and the Keys will have the policy side of that environmental committee. But Senator Broder also was named Senate President Pro Tem, so he's going to be very, very involved over the course of the next 2 years on Senate policy and dollars.
Is it kind of a throwbacky sense to you where you have someone that has a committee and they stick with it even through a few of these presiding officers like Brodeur, like Rodriguez? I tend to see that as a positive thing because they get more understanding of the subject matter they're working with. What do you guys think about that part?
I would agree with you 100%. You know, I think that there is a massive benefit to continuity, particularly with environmental issues, and that could go for transportation, that could go for criminal, civil justice, et cetera. I mean, it is difficult to have a part-time legislature who's able to truly wrap their heads around a subject matter in the course of a 60-day session and all the work that, you know, goes into leading up to a session. But to be able to, you know, really dig your heels in from a policy perspective on some of our meaty environmental issues, that it would benefit everyone to have someone in that position for a couple of years.
Jeff, Ryan talked about new members in there when he was talking about the org session. And so if you can, talk about some logistical details relating to the AIF Water Forum. And we'll talk about it more in our calendar items. But for now, I want to hear about a thing that it sounds like y'all are going to be doing differently this go around, which deals with how do you help educate and give resources to new legislators, right?
That's absolutely right. And it's going to be really cool to see it rolled out. But what we're branding a little bit is the introducing a component called the Water Forum University. And this is not something that certainly I didn't cook up, and it wasn't even AIF that invented the concept. It actually came from Bobby Payne, and he was termed out. But while he was still in the legislature, I think he took it upon himself to take freshmen members as they came in and really help school them up on water issues, which, as you know, as Ryan just pointed out, these are really complex issues. There isn't just a button that can be pressed to fix a water problem. There's always other, you know, something else is going to be affected by that decision. And being such complex issues, getting new members up to speed on this is very important. So Bobby Payne, I think actually the origin of this idea is he reached out to AIF and asked about incorporating this water university idea into the water forum. So AIF said absolutely. So Brewster and Adam have been working on incorporating that into the program. We did have a little bit of a snag. We scheduled it to be in the water forum coming up in a couple of weeks. We ended up picking a couple of days and scheduling the venue and all that, and only to find out later that the House scheduled an interim committee week for that time frame. So if you haven't already seen it announced, the Water Forum University component is going to be here in Tallahassee January 13th. The regular Water Forum with, you know, speakers and topics and addressing all of, you know, a wide variety of water and environmental issues, that will go on as planned December 5th and 6th in Orlando this year.
Do you have the location set for the one in January now?
It is going to be here in Tallahassee. I don't know exactly what the venue is going to be. I think they're maybe be working that out.
Okay. We'll be back talking about it soon enough, I'm positive.
I think this is probably a good time to segue into a little bit more about our current issue at hand and what brings us together today. What do you guys think about that front page? It looks pretty snazzy to me. Jeff, you had talked about the 404 article earlier. I mentioned also we took a couple shots at the core, but in our hearts, we love them. Why don't you round us out, Jeff, talking a little bit about anniversaries as well?
I love this front page. I think it's cool because we had a nice provocative headline, makes people want to pick the paper up, but also like the cool old picture of the original straightening of the Kissimmee River by our favorite federal agency, the Corps of Engineers, way back in the day. So yeah, we did it's the 75th anniversary of the South Florida Water Management District. So we had a great article contributed by governing board member Charlotte Roman. We love seeing those old photographs and telling stories about the origin of an agency like that. And I think that was a cool article.
How about you, Brett? You got one?
I also like the front page. I mean, I guess it's kind of, we do this every time. It's like kind of like a broken record, but I can't say enough nice things about how Tracy Kistler, you know, works with Patrick on putting the front page together. I always find it kind of hilarious. I mean, the Central and South Florida, you know, water control system, all the things that are both important. We talk a lot about, you know, environmental restoration now, and we've spent a lot of money in the state of Florida rebending the Kissimmee River, but a lot of that work down there, is still important for life safety for people in Southeast Florida, especially. And so, you know, they've done great work. It's a big hairy organization, but Drew and that entire team down there do some really wonderful work in both the restoration and also the flood protection sense. So yeah, it's a great article.
Well, I'm sure Patrick would have picked an article that he wrote considering his ego, but I'm going to bring up Commissioner Simpson, the article discussing how Commissioner Simpson has urged the USDA to issue a disaster declaration for Hurricane Milton. You're looking at, you know, multi-billion dollar impacts up to $2.5 billion. And the commissioner has been through this before. He's keenly aware of some of the lessons that were learned by Hurricane Michael and others in addressing directly impacts to agriculture. So, you know, I think kudos to him for really kind of focusing on how ag can recover after a hurricane.
Yeah, I mean, one note on that is I was actually kind of, you know, researching, going into the depths of the USDA website and finding that it wasn't but 2 weeks after that letter was sent that they already started issuing payments to some folks. The insured and uninsured losses are massive, like you said, like in the article. But at least there seems to be a speedy response, which is important given some of the, there were some significant delays. And, you know, when you go back not so far, you know, in 2018, 2019, you know, after Michael, it could be a bit of a mess for folks. So I'm glad that he's involved and I'm sure we'll be following it. That's a great one
too. Well, again, I mean, we poke fun at the Corps and other, you know, bureaucracies, but that's really all one can ask for from the federal government is to not be, you know, stuck in place. And so I think the action taken by Commissioner Simpson, I agree with you, probably certainly spurred some of that on. Well, while I'm at it, let's cover a few event calendar items. Folks will have already missed the Florida One Water Summit on November 18th, but Brett, I think you hosted one of those panels, did you not?
I did. And it was actually a really good day. It's like we started at, 8 o'clock in the morning, didn't finish until I was on the last panel of the day and had some great folks, David McIntyre, Lynn Spivey. Lynn's the utility director at Plant City. And we even dragged Frank Bernardino out of his retirement to come in and talk. And so we talked One Water, but more so we talked about communicating what One Water means. I've heard the term quite a bit in different contexts, not just the one that we're looking at with this group. And so it was good to talk about that and how to communicate those needs, not just to ourselves, because I think that happens a lot in conferences is folks end up talking to themselves over and over and over again. And it doesn't get to, you know, to some of these policymakers as often, I think, as they think it might. And so that was kind of where the discussion went. We talked about money as well. Of course, you got to do that when you're talking with Frank. And I even recorded it for hopefully we'll have some usable audio. I've not heard it yet, but our fearless producers, Dave Barfield and Carl Sorn, are working on it. And so if there's something usable, we'll be putting it out, for, I think, probably for both the specifier and water for fighting. So it was a good time, good discussion. Glad to have done it.
Excellent. There's also the American Water Works Association Florida Section 2024 Fall Conference. That's December 8th through the 11th in Orlando. And Jeff, you talked a little bit about it earlier, but can people still register for the AIF Water Forum at this point?
Absolutely. It is December 5th and 6th, the week after Thanksgiving in Orlando. And yeah, absolutely. Come register and come join us. It's going to be interesting. So this is the 14th year. We got a great lineup. Commissioner Simpson will be there. Senate President Ben Albritton will be there. We've got a handful of legislators that will be moderating panels on various water and environmental related topics. And I think, Brett, you're going to be back joining us again with the microphone. I think we're going to have the Florida specifier set up there with the ability to record and maybe grab some interviews and have some side conversations. And so maybe you'll hear from people that have been at the Water Forum and maybe get some of those thoughts. Be great to have you back down there, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll try to drag him down. I think I'll be with Jamie. Sheehan will be down there with us as well. Ryan's going to try to pop in. He's gotten him running all over the place per usual. And so we'll try to be grabbing folks. If you're there, come by and see us. We'll set up a table somewhere with the mic. But if you stand near the mic, we're going to put you on. So it'll be great. But look forward to the experience again.
Well, I think that about covers it, gentlemen. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. To all listeners, happy Thanksgiving as well. Thank you for listening to the Florida Specifier Podcast. If you like what you hear, please be sure to hit subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen, and don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review. If you don't like what you hear, we are blaming Patrick. You should too. Definitely give him a call or drop him an email during family time at Thanksgiving to tell him so. Or you could at least just subscribe to the Specifier online at floridaspecifier.com and read your environmental news and commentary the old-fashioned way. But please do be sure to subscribe. It's easy, inexpensive, and offers a ton of ways to read, watch, listen, and learn at your fingertips. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.
Production of this podcast is by Carl Soren and David Barfield at Lonely Fox Studios, and we want to thank Bagels and Biscuits, as always, for letting us use their music for the podcast. Join us next time as we delve into the issues, policy, and people that environmental professionals and policymakers want to know about. For Jeff Littlejohn, Ryan Matthews, and the duty-shirking Patrick Gillespie, I'm Brett Cyphers, and we'll see you next time.